verses 6 to 8. If you're following in the church Bibles, it's page 934. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow down before the exalted God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I offer my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. This is the word of the Lord.
Reading is also from the Old Testament and is taken from Amos chapter 5, verses 9 to 15 and 21 to 24, and can be found on page 920. With a blinding flash, he destroys the stronghold and brings the fortified city to ruin. There are those who hate the one who upholds justice in court and detest the one who tells the truth. You levy a straw tax on the poor and impose a tax on their grain. Therefore, though you have built stone mansions, you will not live in them. Though you have planted lush vineyards, you will not drink their wine. For I know how many are your offenses, and how great your sins. There are those who oppress the innocent and take bribes and deprive the poor of justice in the courts. Therefore, the prudent keep quiet in such times, for the times are evil. Seek good, not evil, that you may live. Then the Lord God Almighty will be with you, just as you say he is. Hate evil, love good. Maintain justice in the courts. Perhaps the Lord God Almighty will have mercy on the remnant of Joseph. Now, verse 21. I hate, I despise your religious festivals. Your assemblies are a stench to me. Even though you bring me burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. Though you bring choice fellowship offerings, I will have no regard for them. Away with the noise of your songs. I will not listen to the music of your harps, but let justice roll on like a river, righteousness like a never-failing stream. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
And so they sent me to church to cure me. Because church would be so boring, and church would be so cold, and church would be so miserable that I wouldn't want to go back. And whilst at that church, I thought there are a few things. I thought God likes very small children because he liked me. That God hangs out in cold spaces because it was very cold. And that God is bothered about fussy rules. So the church I went to, God seemed to be bothered about how much orange squash you could have on a Sunday in your drink, how many people were allowed in the church kitchen, how short my skirt was as I got older. And there seemed to be lots and lots of fussy things. And by the time I got to secondary school, I was not a fan of church with all its silly rules and its fussiness and its godness. Ooh, not quite sure. But I went to youth group when I was a teenager, and this youth worker was amazing. She had all the money in the world, and she took us cloud gazing. So at 14, we were chucked out in a field, and we were told to lie on the ground and look at the clouds. And that was youth club. But there was something amazing happened at one of those youth clubs, because as I looked at the cloud, 20 minutes later, the youth leader started reading these words. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight to the blind, to set the oppressed free, and to proclaim this is the year of the Lord's favour. And as I lay on the ground, something amazing happened to me, and I knew that if that was what God was asking, that I could do. God was totally unbothered about my skirt length and the amount of orange juice in the cup and the fussiness over the hymn books and whether things were sung in the right order and the plain song psalms sung really badly out of tune. God was not bothered about them. This was what God was bothered about, and that I could follow. So I moved to Manchester at 18, and I lived in Harper Hay. I lived behind the dog's home in quite a poor community, and I started to work out that life isn't the same for everybody. And I went on a bit of a social justice mission, really. I learned about people who are homeless, I learned about refugees, I learned about people who struggled to pay the bills, and I found out that there was a lot of injustice everywhere. And one thing that was particularly rubbish for poor communities was healthcare. Since 1947, we've known that healthcare is poor for those who are poor. And it's been proved every 5 years, every 10 years, in every part of our country, in every part of our world, ever since. And it's called the inverse care law. And so out of that, I formed Hope Citadel. And Hope Citadel was a calling from God to bring healthcare for people living in poorer communities that would bring justice. At 26, I had no idea what I was doing. But 15, 16 years on, that has become an amazing part of bringing justice to those communities. And it continues to grow. Currently, I'm doing a piece of work about homeless families, children living in temporary accommodation. And next week, we are publishing our next round of data about how many children have died living in temporary accommodation. There is justice everywhere. But how do we respond to justice? How do we recognize the justice injustice around us? How do we recognize the injustice to people around us? Racism, homophobia, misogyny, hatred, all of it is around us. But we are called to live in a way that brings in the kingdom of God and to set the blind free and declare the goodness of God. So how do we treat people? What do we notice? If we're an employer, how much do we pay people? What do we put our effort into? How do we use our money? How do we use our time? How do we pray? How do we shop? How do we respond to world events? And if you think that God isn't bothered about all this stuff, God is deeply bothered. Amos, Isaiah, Proverbs, Psalms, Deuteronomy, Colossians, James, Revelation, all are about justice. In fact, a golden thread throughout the Bible is about justice, social justice, and the poor. If you are reading a Bible like maybe Trump is reading, it is not the Bible I am reading. And we see it in Jesus. How he treats the Samaritan woman at the well, an outcast, poor, broken. We would call her trafficked. How he heals the leper, poor, an outcast, left behind. The turning of the tables before he is arrested. And ultimately on the cross, the curtain broke in two as a sign of justice coming. It is the heart of God, and we pray, let your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. So what can we do? Anything. Last year, I emailed the Prime Minister, "Dear Prime Minister, I'm a middle-aged, middle-class, middle-of-the-road, fairly dull woman who believes that your decision not to attend COP27 is a mistake. I realise things are tricky at the moment," understatement, but the politics will change, the ministers will change, the economics will change, but the health of our planet is fundamental and will not change without action. I am not a climate activist or a campaigner. I am an Aldi shopping mother, and I'm urging you to reconsider and turn up for COP. I don't know if my email made a difference, but I do know that the emails that went in did make a difference, and he went. We are all called to do something for action. We are all called to live in a world where I am not angry that I am cut up on the motorway. I'm not angry that I've bumped my car again. I'm not angry that someone got promoted above me. I'm not angry that someone has a better holiday than me. I am angry that the world is deeply unjust. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Matilda has a song. Just because you feel that life's not fair, it doesn't mean you have to grin and bear it. If you always take it on the chin and wear it, nothing will change. Because even if you're little, you can do a lot, and you mustn't let a little thing like little stop you. If you sit around and let them get on top of you, you might as well be saying you think that it's okay, and that's not right. And if that's not right, you have to put it right. Is this not the kind of fasting I've chosen, to loose the chains of injustice, to untie the cord of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry, to provide poor wanderer with shelter, when you see the naked to clothe them and not turn away from your own flesh and blood? Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear, and your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call upon the Lord, and he will answer. You will cry for help, and he will say, "Here I am." If you do away with the yoke of oppression, with a pointing finger and malicious talk, and if you spend yourselves on behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness, and your night will become like the noonday sun. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in the sun-scorched land, and he will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose never fails. I've got a video to show you. It's from a favorite TV show of mine called Ted Lasso. Ted is the fictional manager of a fictional Premiership football team called Richmond. And they are losing at half time. And this is what Ted says to them.
All right, now, fellas, hey, let's focus up, huh? So I've been hearing this phrase y'all got over here that I ain't too crazy about. It's the hope that kills you. Y'all know that? I disagree, you know? I think it's the lack of hope that comes and gets you. See, I believe in hope. I believe in belief. Now, where I'm from, we got a saying too. Yeah? Question, actually. Do you believe in miracles? Now, I don't need y'all to answer that question for me. But I do want you to answer that question for yourselves. Right now. Do you believe in miracles? And if you do, get them in here. All right, Captain, let them know. All right, Captain. Let them know.
Mission on 12. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 9, 10, 11, 12.
So, do you believe in miracles? I really believe in miracles. And I believe the miracle that most often God does is along the lines of social justice. It's where I've seen God do the most work, the most miraculous things, and the most amazing hidden miracles. So what we're going to do now, we'll hopefully play a song.